For continuing with Emunah u'Bitachon, and we're up to the ninth section of the first chapter. Kasher zachah sechel ha'adam lirot amitat mitzvuto yitbarach. When one's mind merits to see the truth of Hashem's existence, blessed be He, miyad nichnas bo simchat gil en ketz. He is immediately infused with a rejoicing, a happiness that is limitless. V'nishmato ne'ima alav, and his soul feels pleasant. V'adimyon mashlim yimasechel lachzot b'noam Hashem, and his imagination fills in the gaps for his mind to the point where he sees the pleasantness of Hashem. Meaning there is a point at which the mind and the imagination start working together. That's a very dangerous idea. Yeah. And he's going to expand on that in a minute.
So you're imagining things that aren't real, but you want them to be real.
So the mayon doesn't have to mean you're imagining what isn't real. Meaning, there are things that you can perceive with your eye, but then there are things that you don't perceive with your eye, but they're still true.
You can also perceive your eye and just tangle everything in your mind.
There are areas where your mind says, I don't know. I know this far. I don't know how to go beyond that. And your imagination says, okay, if you've gotten this far, then it's not such a big leap to take the next step. And then the mind says, okay, well, if you've taken the next step, then logic dictates that. Meaning, in our course of thinking, not everything can be delineated by logic.
Is it decision-wise, or is it just when it comes to all kinds of tchumim of life?
So he said that the recognition of the truth of Hashem's existence is to be perceived by the mind. After the mind perceives it, that's when there's this duet between the mind and the imagination. But first, the mind. The mind has to reach a certain level of understanding. It is only from there on that you say, okay, there are certain things that my mind doesn't know. I can imagine it would be this way, but I don't know.
So one Shulchan Aruch says that when you pray Amidah, you should think that you are in Beit HaMikdash. Or at least you're in Azaran, you're seeing that. Can we apply to that situation that your eyes can perceive something in the sense of tefillah? You know tefillah, you know what does that mean? You know Fatima of Amidah, can you really realize that you are in Beit HaMikdash and you're in Azaran?
Okay. Mechol tanugei besarim chamku avaru. And then all the pleasures, the meaty physical pleasures, pass. V'nafsho ha'adina mitatefet b'kedusha. And his gentle soul is wrapped in holiness. V'che'ilu pirsha megufa achur umshotetet b'shmei shamayim. And it's as if the soul has succeeded in taking off from the filthy body, and the soul is sailing in the heavens of heavens. Uvehealut ha'adam, uvehealot ha'adam, derechei kodesh elu. And as a person ascends on these steps of holiness, nigla lefanav olam chadash. A new world is revealed before him. Ki efshar la'adam b'olam ze liot kemalach lirgeim. Because there are moments when a person can be like an angel in this world. V'leinot miziv ha'kodesh, and to enjoy the radiance of holiness. And all the pleasures of this world don't compare to the pleasure of a person's connecting to his Creator, blessed be He. Notice that the Chazon Ish spells out that there are moments of euphoria. We sometimes expect that we will live a continuous euphoria. The Chazon Ish says, no, there are moments. It is a normal part of spiritual life. those moments can shine onto the rest of the year. We are about to enter Yom Kippur. What a fitting piska we're learning here. Sometimes people think Yom Kippur is going to make the whole year. Well, on some levels it will. But we can't live our whole lives in Ne'ilah. At some point, you got to go back and eat supper. So, okay, you want your supper to be a different supper. But at the end of the day, your supper is not the same. You go to the bathroom. You're not standing in front of Ne'ilah. You're not in Shmoneh Esrei. Yeah, there are going to be moments. And if we seize those moments, then those moments will shine on the rest of our lives. But we shouldn't expect that all of life will be those moments. That's true in any relationship. That's true in any human being, in any feeling. You're never going to be as excited as certain moments in your life.
But at least there should be a hood of continuation, a string of continuation. We should pull all that euphoria to all year long, or like we have ahead. Siman, something.
In yoga, they say that once the body has learned certain motions and certain agility, so then it's easy for the body to relearn. So we can say in spiritual yoga, the body learns, the body attains certain spiritual heights, and then it's much easier to get back there. One of the things I always tell the soldiers before they go out to the army is that they should attain a certain spiritual height in their davening, because once you've attained it once, it's always easier to come back to it. And in the army, you're not always going to have the time to build up to it. But if you were once there, then you could get back to it much quicker.
So it's not that you are used to that level, it just happens once in your life, so that's the focal point that when you are in the army,
No. But it's still easier. Lavdavka.
Okay.
Lavdavka. הכוח התמיר על הזה הוא אחד מכוחות התמירים שנתן היוצר בנשמת האדם. This immense force is one of the tremendous forces that Hashem implanted in a person's soul. וכוח זה מעיד על הקשר הגבר ליוצר כל היצורים. And this force is testimony to the bond, the connection between man and the one who formed all. ואשר נברא לעבוד את בוראו לדווקא בו. And that man was created for the purpose of serving his creator and connecting to him. So man is given the capacity to attain a spiritual height that will suffuse him with happiness, a spiritual height that gives him greater satisfaction than all the physical pleasures in this world. And that is testimonial to our capacity to connect our Creator, to serve our Creator.